Welcome to the Thread Raiders podcast, where some of your notifications' least favorite Twitter users get together and talk about whatever pops off the top of their heads. I'm your host, Captain Sugar Bear. With me today is Shrieky.
Hello.
And Griffolian.
Hello.
And of course, just your weekly reminder that we are sponsored by DiceBard. Check out DiceBard.com. Check out their selection of dice. I know I mentioned those rainbow ones, but they also have an adventurer's kit, which is really cool. It's a ton of dice for a really reasonable price, so make sure to check that out. They got metal dice, glow-in-the-dark dice, any standard dice, a lot of cool stuff. But make sure when you buy something, you use the discount code THREADRAIDERS, that's one word, THREADRAIDERS, to get free expedited shipping on your order. Just a little something from us to you that helps support us as well. So, everyone's happy. Going to jump right into the topics today. Shrieky, you have a community submission for us today, don't you?
I do. This one came in from at the Elfiest Elf. And they wrote in, I'm curious about your favorite books. I was thinking back to the first time I encountered the fantasy genre. So what is your favorite book and why do you like it?
Okay, Griff, do you want to start us off on that one?
Yeah, I can do. Such a big question. I don't think necessarily I have one on this, because I think different stages of your life you have different ones. Most recently, I started reading, and I've got a lot more to read, a trilogy called the Farseer Trilogy by Robin Hobb. And I'm pretty sure I touched on this when we had our talk about worlds that you would incorporate a bit into D&D before.
Mm-hmm.
I think I liked it because it was, I don't know, every character in that book. You know, sometimes you read books and there's like just throwaway characters and they don't seem to mean anything?
Yeah.
I didn't really get that with this one. I kind of felt like anyone could be important or any detail could be important. And there are a lot of books in, like, this is, Robin Hobb has written like this entire universe. And I think, I might be wrong in saying this, but there's like 5 trilogies worth.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a lot, right?
Just reminds me a lot of like a R.A. Salvatore, a huge series like that. That's really cool.
It is, because I think that the cool thing about it is that it's not necessarily all in order as well. So the Farseer trilogy is the one I'm going to shout out because it was the first trilogy I read. But there's like a prequel trilogy and a trilogy that suddenly follows another of the characters and what they did during a period of time, stuff like that. I won't really go into what it's about. All I will say is if you like fantasy stuff, if you like a bit of intrigue, a bit of kind of assassination sort of thing, if you like dragons, anything like that, definitely worth checking into. I think they're from the 90s originally, but literally there is a trilogy that was done in the last like 4 or 5 years. So it's still coming out.
Oh, so they're still coming out with new books in the series.
Exactly. I think I haven't read it yet, but I think there was one this year called Assassin's Fate. So even like up to now, the series is getting updates. So yeah, just if you want something that's going to keep you occupied for a long period of time, I could probably recommend so many other books, but that's the one I think for, especially with who we're talking, the two of you, for example, I feel like it would probably appeal to you. Whereas there's a lot of other stuff I read that maybe wouldn't. So
yeah. No, definitely. I mean, obviously you're speaking to the right crowd with, dragons and stuff like that. Definitely sounds interesting to me. Nothing I've ever heard of before. So I'm glad you brought that out because, definitely something I kind of want to look into.
Yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
So I guess I'll go ahead and take the next one because it took me a while I really had to think about this when I saw this come through the email. Because I used to have a favorite book called Locke, and it was about the Loch Ness Monster when I was, a lot younger, like in high school. And for the longest time, that was one of my favorite books. But when I really think about it, there was this book by Clive Barker that I read, and it stuck with me. It's called Mr. Be Gone. And it's a story about this demon who gets trapped into a book, and the book talks to you. Like directly, it addresses the reader, and essentially from the very beginning, it says you don't want to read this. Like this is just gonna be a bad time for you. Nothing good can come from this. Burn this book. Run. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. A book that's telling me not to read it. Clearly, I want to continue. And it chronicles this demon's like kind of life and like how it ended up in this book. And just every so often, the book breaks and again just urges you to stop reading, to close the book, and to run. And I just thought it was like a really clever, different way to do a book. And it always just kind of stuck with me. And it was a damn shame because I found it in like the bargain bin for like a dollar. And it was the best dollar I ever spent. It's one of the best books I've ever personally read. Nice. You know, I was kind of tempted to go with like the Dark Elf Chronicles or something like that, you know, D&D related from Ari Salvatore. Because those are such great books, and they're some of my favorites that I'm reading right now. But like when I really think about a book that stuck with me, Mr. Be Gone really just, it's always stuck with me since I read it like good, you know, 6-7 years ago.
Awesome. That's, again, not one I've heard of, so I might have to check that out.
Yeah, it's short. It's a quick read.
That's the funny thing about certain books is like it can be over a decade since you've read it. And you can still remember so many minute details, and yet I can't remember why I walked into a room.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just to go get a book, right?
Yeah.
No, oh, I feel you on that for sure. Yeah.
No, I haven't heard either of those books, but they both sound really interesting and something that would be up my alley. I was actually going to mention Dragon Riders of Pern because it is one of my favorite book series, but I have already brought it up before to both of you guys when we've talked before. So I think actually I'm going to bring up another book that I absolutely loved when I was younger, and it was called Raptor Red by Robert T. Backer, I believe is how you pronounce his name. And it's pretty much an archaeologist. They find really old raptor bones, and it's larger than your average raptor. It's female. So based on the scars on the bones and based on other details that they kind of uncover, they pretty much tell the story of this raptor. They, from the minute it's born till its ultimate death, they tell this whole story about how it lived, the fights it got into. And it was just a really kind of cool, like, I've always been a raptor fan, so it was just a really kind of neat concept to take somewhat factual details and try and create this fantasy world.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, no, that is interesting. I too am actually a fan of raptors, so, you know, that sounds actually kind of really right up my alley too.
Obviously, if you're a follower of the podcast, you know I have severe traumatic memories of raptors coming into my room at night. So maybe not. No, yeah, raptors. You can't really go wrong with a raptor. But
I mean, clearly
that is such an interesting. Well, yeah, very true. But it is an interesting concept, isn't it? Taking something like you say, an actual bone, something that shows these marks, shows these paths, and then creating a story from that is pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I kind of feel like that's what paleontology really is when you really think about it. You know, because there's no way to know truthfully what, you know, these animals ate, how their behaviors were and whatnot. But by kind of piecing together the puzzle of the bones, you can get a good idea of it at least. So
like the best informed assumption. Yeah. What you have.
Yeah. So it's almost like a natural progression of paleontology, in my opinion, you know, based on, you know, how that book is.
Yeah, that is true. It's just pretty much created an immersive story with it that kind of engages a young audience, so maybe they could even get into that field later on.
That's a really important part of it, isn't it? That's making that then super accessible for a child or anyone reading that, kind of going like, do you know what, I'd like to put together these sorts of stories.
Hell yeah, I did, until I realized what kind of school you had to go to do it.
Well, yeah.
School. I don't want to talk about school.
Yeah, we're not talking about school in this episode.
No, but stay in school, kids.
Yeah, no, that is the Thread Raiders podcast message, is don't do drugs, stay in school, and Jim Beam rocks. These will be recurring themes, trust me. Well, you said that topic was from The Elfiest Elf. Was that who that was?
Yeah, that was The Elfiest Elf. And again, thank you for sending in that topic. It was actually a great one to kind of discuss.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Definitely huge fans of literature. But we do need to move on. And with that, I know, Griff, you had something for us, something pretty interesting. Can't wait to really dive into that. You want to hit us up with it?
Yeah, I seem to be bringing some of the heavier topics at the moment, but I wanted to... This is almost somewhat of a continuation of our last podcast, where we were talking about Twitter and the community and things. It got me thinking about the anonymity that comes from online personalities. So being internet users, we experience anonymity pretty much daily with the people we interact with. Do you think that the anonymity people have online encourages them to behave? Or do you think it actually just reveals the way they would behave if they could? I think the distinction there being, is it how people are, or do people do it to like play, act? If that makes
sense. I don't mind running with this one first. Because I have a, even before Twitter and whatnot, I have a long storied social media history where anonymity played a big part. And I wasn't always the best person. You know, I wasn't always like a, you know, champion for good and what's right. And I mean, I was, you know, really young and stupid. And I've learned a lot since then about, you know, people and trying to be, you know, someone who does the right thing for people and looks out for people. But mm-hmm. So I've seen this from both sides. And I can say that I think it's a little bit from column A and a little bit from column B. I think that anonymity can allow you to explore maybe your darker urges, you know, things that maybe you're not necessarily proud of, but that maybe you find fun because, you know, there's just something broken inside of you that finds, you know, being that person fun. But mm-hmm. I also think that with anonymity, it almost encourages that behavior because you know that there's nothing anybody can do. And that it takes a real conscious effort to just be a decent human being to one another. And that, you know, anonymity does make it really easy to be a shithead, basically. You know, it really does.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit from both of you, because I think that, you know, if you're predisposed to being a shithead, you're more likely to actually act like one with anonymity. I don't think anonymity necessarily makes you that way. I think there's definitely something to, you know, having that inside you. That said, you know, just because you have it inside you doesn't mean you're going to act like that. And, you know, it is something you can come from back from and be a good member of the community and be someone who contributes in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, actually, you saying that kind of makes you think there's also a little addendum that needs to be added to that then. Is it less a case of encouraging people to misbehave and more mean that people don't have to behave? The distinction being is your manners don't have to be there. You know, you don't have to say your pleases and your thank yous and stuff, because actually, who's going to judge you? Some random person on the internet, right?
Like another anonymous person.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this, Shrieky?
I don't know. I tend to agree with both of you. I think it really greatly depends on the individual themselves. One thing I can say about having that or being able to be anonymous is going back to the whole depression anxiety thing. I know a lot of people who didn't feel comfortable talking about their problems when the person knew their identity. But when mm-hmm. they're anonymous, you kind of have that ability to like, okay, well, they can't judge me. They can't judge my family. And that's big thing I find. It's not so much the person worried about how they're going to be judged, but it either coming back to their friends and family that they feel or think that way, and how society is going to respond to them. Like, for instance, my family, they are not the type to exactly talk about their problems or anything like that for that very reason. They're very self-conscious about image. You know, like, we have to look like we're a healthy, functioning family, so we can't have any of these problems that more likely every other household is having.
Right.
So when you're anonymous, you don't have to worry about that. You're just this nameless person with these problems, and you can address those problems without that person's identity really being brought into light.
Mm-hmm. So kind of almost like being a force for good rather than... It's the other side of the coin, isn't it? It's like some people using anonymity for misbehaving and, you know, doing negative things, I suppose. It gives other people an avenue to actually seek help or, you know, provide a good service.
Yeah, exactly, Griff. We're going to see just as many bad cases as we're going to see good ones, but I do believe that the two balance each other out.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think this is where, like, that classic phrase, don't feed the trolls, comes in. where actually we need to stoke the fires of all the positive things going on and shout the virtues of those who are being supportive and great rather than highlighting the ones that are just there to cause the trouble, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like some places are starting to learn that. Like, I know our particular Twitter community, you know, when you see a troll, they're just completely ignored and they tend to just go away.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, but it doesn't gain them anything to have no one respond to them, you know? So, and it's easier said than done sometimes. I know I have wanted to really, you know, try and set someone straight. But the point is, they're not there for that, are they? They're not there to learn something. They're there to rile you up.
Yeah. Exactly. One might say they're there to poke the bear.
Yeah. That is never something you should do.
No, it really isn't. Take that as a lesson. If you've learned nothing else from this podcast, don't poke the bear.
Don't poke bear.
But yeah, you know, the anonymity, you know, on one hand, it's bad, you know, well, in the sense that, you know, the people can use it for nefarious purposes. But
yeah,
like, I know I found a lot of comfort in anonymity. You know, I have my real name, I have my real identity, whatever. I tend to be pretty genuine online, though, like, you know, as far as who I am and how I represent myself, that's truly how I really am and represent myself. But I keep myself just far enough removed from it, you know, with my Captain Sugar Bear thing, you know, which has kind of become almost like a name I prefer to even my real life name, which sounds a little bit sad, but there's a story there that maybe one day we'll go into. You know, but most people know me as just Bear, and I'm totally okay with that. And because of just that slight bit of anonymity, just that little bit of removal of self, I've been able to open up to people that, you know, a year ago, maybe I wouldn't have been able to. So there are definitely, you know, it's like with anything else. There's definitely pros and cons to anonymity. There's, you know, the people who will abuse it, but then there's people who also can find just enough comfort in it that maybe they can talk about stuff that bother them and maybe they can find real support and real help. So there's definitely a benefit to it as well. There's a certain yin and yang to it, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, do you have anything to add, Griff? Because I know you didn't really jump in too much yourself. You know, you had some points to make, but do you have anything to add to the conversation?
To be fair, I think it's mostly covered, if I'm honest. I think what you were saying is a pretty good point, is that for those of us who do feel comfortable to share anything, it tends to be a persona of ourselves rather than our true selves, because you have to protect yourself somewhat, right?
Yeah.
You literally can't put everything out there because, unfortunately, the anonymity of others will misuse that. But
yeah,
I think anonymity is great because it does give those people who aren't comfortable with that or who maybe wouldn't necessarily feel that they are capable to create a version of themselves that is capable.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the funny thing about that is it's them doing it themselves, but this anonymity actually gives them that like magic cape of strength to do the thing that they wouldn't normally be able to do.
I want a magic cape of strength. I'm just throwing that out there right now.
Yeah, exactly. it's a very interesting thing. I think, like, I don't really view anonymity as necessarily inherently good or bad. Like you both said, there are two sides of the same coin. Unfortunately, you kind of can't have one without the other. But I think for all those people, it's saved. You know, as long as the rest of us just, you know, help starve all those trolls, I think it's worth having.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, you should actually bring this up, because my local newspaper actually disabled comments online because people were making these anonymous comments, which, of course, got abusive and just went way too far. But we fought for a long time to be able to remain anonymous, because for a while they wanted us to be forced to use our real names.
Right. And
when it comes to local issues in my city, if I want to speak up about an opinion, I did not want my name attached, not because I didn't want to take responsibility for my words, but because I didn't want my social standing to be considered a factor when they weighed in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah. Your opinion should stand on its own right without all these other things being taken in.
Exactly. I mean, I was accused of being a middle-aged rich man in Brockville.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, like, oh, you're driving around in your caddy, and I'm like, yeah, I am.
I mean, a caddy, that's what you're going to spend your money on? Okay.
Yeah, right? I think you get a little bit more creative than that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going Lambo if I'm rich.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, fucking balls to the wall until I crash into a wall.
You know, sadly, I would still probably go with my Volkswagen Shagen wagon.
Yo, you know what? That, oh, man. No tangent here. No tangent here. Could go all day on that shit. But I know, Griff, you were talking about starving trolls, which actually, believe it or not, it actually brings us to the next topic. And that was a good one. Thanks again, Griff. I appreciate you bringing that one to us. But
you're welcome.
A weird thing happened a few weeks ago from the time that this is going to air. And I got into an argument with my friend Riley about bears. We were watching Game of Thrones. And we were talking about bears and hibernation. And she said that bears hibernate because they're cold. And I said, no, they hibernate because there's no more food. Hence the hunger. And she had said that if a bear could wear a sweater, it would be happy because it could go out and it wouldn't be cold anymore. And I told her that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. And it became this long, like, 20-minute conversation as to whether or not a bear would enjoy wearing a sweater. And eventually it made its way to Twitter, in a Twitter poll, which I just barely scraped by and won by like 3 votes. But ultimately the internet decided that bears would not wear sweaters.
So first of all, this is very much like Brexit, okay? 51% right in, okay. Does not count as, you know, universal victory. I'm sorry.
Listen, there's no margin of error here. I won. Deal with it. That's why I decided that this is probably going to be the last episode of the Thread Raiders podcast, because we are going to hash out the bears and sweaters thing. This episode might run a little bit long because of this, because there's going to be no satisfaction had by any of us.
Yeah, this cannot end really with either people being satisfied. So I jumped in on this. I saw this poll, and at the time, I'll be honest. So my response to this was, A, the wording on this tweet was entirely leading the witness.
Yes. As polling does.
Word for
like
word.
Every other poll on planet fucking Earth.
This is the tweet. I'm going to put it out there just to provide Shrieky, because Shrieky doesn't have the full context on this. So Bear tweeted, "Settle this argument for me and my good friend, if you would be so kind. Do you think bears, wild fucking animals, bears that live in the woods and eat salmon and berries, would want to wear sweaters? With the two options being, no, that's really stupid, and, sure, whatever." So, I jumped into this, and no, that's really stupid was really winning, and I was like, do you know what? No. The inner troll, I suppose, in me came out. I wasn't happy with that. I wasn't happy with that, and so I weighed in on the side of, sure, whatever, and I became a warrior for the bears and jumpers.
Because you wanted to split the party.
You
were my brother Anakin.
I'm just saying that I'm not necessarily sure whether they would enjoy it. I'm just saying we cannot define what they enjoy. Like, they might like to put a sweater on. We can't say that that's stupid, because what if they do? You know, and then you just called any bear that wants to wear a sweater stupid bear.
What if I fart really hard and I go flying through the air? You know, I could enjoy that. But the likelihood of that happening, very, very fucking low. Very low.
All right. Yeah. I'm not quite sure that that's comparable, though.
It's perfectly comparable. I'm saying that it's not going to fucking happen. It's never going to happen. No. No bear on planet Earth is ever going to be like, if that sweater was the best. I love it.
If a bear puts a sweater on in the woods and no one's around to see it, does the bear put the sweater on?
Where the fuck did the bear get the sweater?
Because, I mean, look, people leave sweaters in the woods. This is the thing that happens.
And it's a sweater large enough to fit a bear.
Hey, people go hiking. You don't know what they're like. You don't know their sizes.
I know.
You're measuring people in the woods, bear? Is that what you do?
A sweater big enough for a bear, they're not hiking.
Might be a small bear. Might be a cub.
It's true.
Sorry, Shrieky, you go.
Yeah, go.
We need some down the road, on the fence advice, just to begin.
Oh, you're looking at the wrong person.
Yeah, okay. This is what I want to hear.
I'm just bringing up the fact that we have, like, Paddington Bear. We have Winnie the Pooh. We have lots of bear icons out there that are wearing shirts.
What do they all have in common?
They're wearing sweaters?
They're fake fucking bears. They're not real wild animals that are out there doing bear things.
Like you?
I'm not a real bear either. I'm just a guy who calls himself bear because I think it's fucking funny.
Maybe
and
you
guess what? Guess what? Guess what? I don't like fucking sweaters either. They're horrible. They're
itchy. So you're just imprinting your own opinion onto the bears.
If I was a bear, right, and I was thinking, like, do I value this opinion of this guy that calls himself bear because he thinks it's funny? He's taking our name and he's making a joke out of it. Or Paddington or Winnie the Pooh, like icons of bearness, you know? They extol good virtues. They've got excellent taste in sandwiches. One of them has like a bowler hat. Like, that's pretty cool. They love jumpers. So that's kind of where I'm going with this right now. Like, I'd love a jumper.
To clarify, just because I didn't know this, jumpers are sweaters in British talk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to clarify that because I didn't know that. I had to actually get that explained to me.
Oh, did you? Shit. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that's just my little term.
So, yeah, I think you're both in the wrong here, though. I think
that's strong.
All right, okay. Bear, should we team up now? Is this the thing? Like,
I think we're about to be the fucking Wonder Twins over here.
No, I'm just saying that a shirt, if the whole thing started with a bear wanting to be warm, then why the fuck does he have his ass hanging out?
That's really fair.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why would it be just a sweater? Why stop there?
Yeah, why not a onesie?
Oh my god.
Well, I suppose because a bear is already wearing a onesie.
That's my fucking point, though!
If we really think...
That's my fucking point!
And the onesie isn't quite enough, you know?
If a bear is already covered in fur, and let's face it, fat, why does it need a sweater to keep warm?
Whoa, no. We're not shaming bears right now.
I'm not fat shaming bears. It's an objective fact that they eat before the winter... to build up their bulk, to stay warm in their cave where they fucking hibernate.
Okay. Call it bulk now.
Also, I just want to address something Griff was saying about Paddington Bear and Winnie the Pooh and all that bullshit. Like a bear, listen, I love bears. Great animals, fantastic, majestic as fuck.
Oh, this sounds like you're about to patronize bears, though.
Yeah.
There's a butt here. A bear does not have the cognitive ability to look at Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh and be like, yeah, that's representative of me. Can't do it. Can't fucking do it. Because the only thing on that bear's fucking
mind... You don't
know. No. The only thing on that bear's mind is, where am I going to get my next bite of salmon? And that's it. That's all the bear cares about. And also, I might have to scratch my butt. And that's inconvenient.
Is that you, or is this the bear right now?
I mean, I might be projecting a little bit.
Yeah. There is definitely projection. I mean, look, my whole side in this argument was that I don't know if they want to wear them. Like, let's be honest. I don't know what's going on inside of the mind of a bear. But that means I can also say... that I can't also say that they don't want to wear them, you know? Like, one bear might want a sweater, the other bear might not. Bears are individuals too, you know? They each have their own individual right to whether or not they wear a sweater.
Okay.
So
let me ask you this. Are you confident enough that there's one bear out there that wants to wear a sweater that you will go around putting sweaters on bears?
I mean, again, like, I'm not going to say I'm going to go and put sweaters on bears. But there might be a bit, like, some bears, given the opportunity, might like to slip on a sweater.
No, pray tell.
I just don't know.
Let's just walk me through this. Why wouldn't you, if you're so confident, be willing to go and put a sweater on a bear? Now, if you're so confident that there's got to be a bear out there that's going to be like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted in life, why would you not provide that for him? What are you scared of?
I mean, I'll go and put sweaters in woods. I'll go and do that for the bears. I'll provide them more access to bears, but no one dresses me in the morning. I'm not going to, like, go out. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one does it for me. No one's out there going, like, do you know what? Griff really needs a sweater. I'm going to go take him one. But, you know, I also think there's nobody out there saying that bear doesn't offer... I'm projecting bears onto me now. There's no one out there going, look, Griff doesn't often wear sweaters, so he must detest sweaters. You know, I'm ambivalent to sweaters. I'll wear one if I need one. But, you know, no one's making that assumption.
It's a whole different thing, though, because, yeah, you'll wear one if you need one. But when have you ever seen a bear wearing a sweater? Like, even one time. Even one time.
I've not seen a lot of bears without sweaters, though. So.
What?
Like, I just don't see a lot of bears. So, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think that just brings back to your earlier point, though, Bear, is that who made a sweater big enough for them?
Right. Exactly, because there's no market for it. There's not bears pounding down the doors like, give us sweaters, we're cold. No. Bears don't give a fuck, they got fur.
There would be a market for it if bears had money, but they don't have money.
It's misrepresentation, isn't it? Because it's not profitable to create bear-sized jumpers. No one does it.
No, they have money. It's more like trade, though. They've got picnic baskets. They got picnic baskets that they stole from the fucking ranger in Yellowstone.
I mean, so now you're stereotyping bears as thieves. So not only are you making assumptions for them or what they'd like to wear, but you're just basically putting down their name. Bear.
Hashtag not all bears.
So, yeah.
All
I know is Christmas is coming up. The holidays are coming up. Like, keep your eye out. You may see a bear wearing a jumper. If they're not wearing a jumper, don't assume that they wouldn't want a jumper. You know, there's every chance they might. You just don't know.
There's every chance. What? That is the dumbest fucking logic I've ever heard. We're trying to say whether or not bears do or do not like jumpers or sweaters, whatever the fuck you want to call it. But I'm sorry. There's so much venom in me about this topic.
I'm so worked up about this.
Because I can't imagine how a reasonable person, and I consider you both reasonable people, I really do. I love you to death.
Well, that's your first mistake.
So. I know. That was my first mistake. But, you know, I can't imagine any reasonable person looking at a bear and being like, yeah, that motherfucker wants a sweater. And it would be so happy in a sweater. Like, I picture it like a dog, you know? Like, when you get a dog a Halloween costume or, you know, a shirt or whatever at fucking Petco.
Mm-hmm.
When have you ever seen a dog that's like, yeah, I'm super chill with this, and not, get it off me! Get it off me! Ah! Like, that is how a dog reacts to fucking clothes. Now imagine a bear, which are very temperamental in the wild. I mean, you don't hear stories of hunters going out.
You would also be
temperamental
if you were cold, though. That's Jesus all I'm going to say. Like, if you were feeling already a bit tetchy because it was a bit chilly out, and you just wanted, you wanted a nice extra layer of knitwear, and there's none to be seen, I mean, I'd be angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why they're angry. It's the nature of a goddamn bear. Even in the summertime, if you come across a bear in the wild, it's probably going to try to claw your face off.
But how do you know that's not because it wants what you're wearing?
Because it's summertime. It doesn't want what you're wearing. What?
All right. In the summertime, it's not, because in the summertime, it wants a shave, really, doesn't it? But
does it want a shave?
Well, I mean, probably.
I feel like you're projecting now.
We don't know it doesn't. Again, all I'm going to say, we can't prove otherwise.
Okay, I want to get some donations and start a fund.
Oh, here we go.
So that we can do a scientific study on the cognitive ability of a bear to want or to not want a sweater.
Okay, I'm all for this. Let's do it.
All I'm going to say is, though, the results will have to be like little asterisk down the bottom there. The study cannot account for the taste of the bears studied, because I mean, it might just be that they don't like the patterns that you bring, or do you know what I mean? They might prefer like a nice button down sweat jumper that, you know, they might not want to be fully frontally covered. You're gonna have to get in some of the virgin killer sweaters from Japan, just because they might want that back open, right?
I'm so actually okay with that.
So they can get that scratch on that tree.
Because like the Charmin bear, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh god, no, don't put those commercials in my head. They freak me out.
What? Wait, can we talk about that for a second? What?
I don't know. How much time have we got?
Those commercials
we
don't
got time for this.
Come on, they're sitting there with their tushies, and there's that one where like the mama and the papa bear are talking dirty to each other, like, ooh, touch it just once.
Like, I mean, I'm fairly certain they were talking about touch the toilet paper just once.
Yeah, okay, that's what the commercial's selling, but you know that's not what they're talking about.
I mean, I always assumed like, that's what they were talking about.
No, you look at that look in her eye, and that is one horny bear.
A horny bear that does not want
to
fucking
Now I
sweater.
Feel the projection that's coming on.
Oh.
What are you saying about me now?
Projection.
That you're really into toilet paper. You just like toilet paper, right? Like, that's normal.
That double ply.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, double ply, you charlatan. It's all about triple ply.
Oh, I'm not that fancy. Jeez.
Yeah, well, get with the times.
Triple Plight, is such a thing possible? Has science gone too far?
Science has not gone far enough until I get quadruple-ply. This is garbage.
Quadruple-ply.
Oh, man. Now that will be science going too far. But to bring it back real quick, I think that you know, we've established, and very fairly and rightly so, that bears do not like jumpers. So I'm glad that we came to this conclusion together, and I'm glad that we could
all agree. That's not a thing that happens. I think you just arrived at this conversation, Bear.
I like to think that I spearheaded this conversation.
Yeah. So, look, in conclusion, 51% of the Twitter community, 232 votes, by the way, this had like a pretty decent audience, like, the vote. 51% thought it was kind of stupid. But 49 truthers know that we can't decide what a bear would like to wear.
That is not what that answer is. The answer is yes, a bear would like to wear a sweater, or no, a bear would not. There's no middle ground where it's like, we can't presume. There's no answer that says, we can't presume to know what a bear would like. That wasn't a fucking answer.
The onus is on you to prove they don't like them.
No, the onus is on you to prove that they would.
Whoa.
Oh my God. I just had an existential thing here. This is the whole, is there a God or is there not a God thing?
Where I suppose it is.
I can't believe I'm comparing bears to God right now, but here we are. People who believe in God say, no, you prove to me there's no God. And the people who don't believe in God are like, no, you prove to me there is a God. We're never gonna reach a consensus here. There's no right answer.
A bear in a sweater is truly divine. I think that's what we can take from this.
No. A bear deciding whether or not he likes sweaters is truly divine.
Oh, okay. Like, at the window, kind of like shopping, kind of going like, oh, would I look fat in that? Or, like, is that what we're...
Fine.
Yeah. So you know, there was a point made, just to finally wrap up my thing, there was a point made that bears like to often tear up clothes.
And, yeah, because they hate like, them.
Well, no, because I thought it more, it's just like they're so eager to get them on. Do you know what I mean? Like when you get that new piece of clothing, you're like, oh boy, I can't wait to... And you accidentally tear like all the way down the side.
That's never happened to me. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
It happens all the time.
I don't know how that happened so much.
It happens with pantyhose all the time.
Well, pantyhose, I can understand.
Those ladders.
It's very thin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because you wear them all the time, right? And that's
something absolutely. That we... Yeah. Because they compress all the leg hair, you know? And it makes it look like I have very smooth skin.
Oh, yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah. That's it. That's the secret.
It's a good look.
Now you all know why I'm so dead sexy, he said sarcastically.
Shh. I thought it was that sultry voice of yours.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. These velvet pipes of mine. Yeah, that's it.
Alright, well, I think we need to go and just kind of like settle our emotions, you know, just recover from this. The podcast will continue. I think we can just about live with this difference in opinion.
Yeah, I just don't think I can bear to talk about this anymore.
No.
Damn it.
No.
We've all decided that apparently bears are as divine as God, and I'm okay with that. So,
end
it here. Or there's another pun.
Yeah.
What, you want another pun?
No. No, we're good.
Maybe the bears would just be happy bear naked.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the Thread Raiders podcast, because I am not even touching that shit with a 10-foot pole. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Sugar Bear. That's at CPT Sugar Bear. Shrieky, where can we find you?
You can find me and my puns on Twitter at Shrieky, at S-H-R-I-E-K-E-E.
Griffolian, what about you, bud?
Also on Twitter at G-R-Y-F-F-O-L-E-O-N. Also at twitch.tv/Griffolian. I'm probably playing something new and spooky about now.
Ooh, I like that. You can also find the podcast at Thread Raider Pod on Twitter. Any topics or anything you'd like to discuss, feel free to email it to us. See, I'm just as bad as you, Shrieky, right now. I'm sorry. Email to raid at threadraiderspodcast.com or go to our website. We have a contact us page. That's www.threadraiderspodcast.com. Don't forget to like the Facebook page. Join our slowly growing Facebook community as well. And then, of course, if you want to jump into this horrible conversation about bears and sweaters and apparently God, feel free to tweet at me and tell me how wrong you think I am, and I will fight you.
Yeah, and if there's any books that are your favorites or just any that really kind of pop out that you've read in the past, I would love to hear about it.
And if you want to be an anonymous troll, come find me on Twitter.
Oh, you just asked for it.
Don't at me. There we go. just don't at me this week.
And then
come
of course...
say nice things to me. Yeah.
Then last but not least, we do have our newer segment to the show where we highlight members in the community who are working on awesome projects. Give them a little love. Today, you've got it for us, Shrieky. What do you got for us?
Right, it's that time again, and today we'd like to shed some light on a podcast. I'm very excited to do a shout out to Wizard on the Wind. I hope I'm saying that right, and that's Wind with a Y, WYND. They're a D&D play podcast in an immersive fantasy world that will suck you in with their colorful characters and quality story writing. I highly suggest checking this podcast out, guys. They're a wonderfully talented group of people that will have you anxious to load the next episode. You can find them on iTunes and Patreon by searching the keywords Wizard on the Wind. Again, that's with a Y. Or you can message them on Twitter at Wizard on the Wind.
Right on. Well, if there's no further business, my fellow podcast compatriots, I think we are out. Again with that shit?